Welcome to the Situation Update for Friday, February 3rd, 2023. This is not my voice, or is it? I'm joking with you. I'm playing with you. Thank you for the feedback on yesterday's podcast where I was demonstrating the AI synthesized artificial health ranger voice from a company called, 11 Labs, 11labs.io. Yeah, it's pretty shocking. Got a lot of feedback about that yesterday. Again, I appreciate your feedback quite a lot. And some people were freaked out, but most of you said in your comments that you could absolutely tell the difference between the fake voice and the real voice. And yeah, that's right. You can, because you have a lot of discernment and you know what my real voice sounds like because you've probably listened to more than one podcast. But a lot of those professionally crafted AI voices, they can be very, very convincing if someone's not familiar with what that voice is supposed to sound like, or if it's totally artificial, synthesized, you know, from nothing, like it's not even trying to mimic a person. It's just trying to sound like a real human of some human. You know what I mean? So anyway, I was on with Alex Jones last night on his new show that he's launched, Alex Jones Live. And I think that's just alexjoneslive.com. And I was talking to him about this on his show. And apparently, by the way, I'm going on his show today. Should be maybe halfway through the second hour or the third hour. So maybe somewhere around 12:30 Central. If you want to tune in, infowars.com or band.video. It should be a really interesting show because I'm bringing all the crazy cricket photos that I'm going to talk about here tonight as well. But anyway, I was talking with Alex and I said, Alex, you know, you should sign up for this thing and try it out and give it your voice and have it clone your voice and then say something, you know, crazy or interesting or whatever. And I think he's going to do that. So I think on the Alex Jones show, at least this is his plan, he's going to clone his voice using this system and then he's going to broadcast his voice saying something. I don't know what it's going to say, but he's doing this for the same reason I did it, which is to demonstrate the power of the deep fake voices now. And so that you know that if you hear, you know, if someone alleges that I said something or he said something or Trump said something, these days you don't really know for sure, you know, unless the person confirms that they said it, which is different. Anyway, I'm going to be going on with Alex in studio, and I am planning on bringing a dog, a combat dog, that I am currently in possession of, you could say. I'm kind of a foster parent for this dog. Remember, I did some training, I don't know, 2 months ago or something, with these combat dogs. And then, through circumstances, perhaps I'll share it later, I ended up becoming the foster parent for one of these dogs that was trained and raised in Europe. And this dog was about to go to the German police, where I knew that this dog would be used to, you know, threaten innocent people, probably German protesters who are, you know, rising up and protesting their corrupt government. So anyway, I'm not going to go through all the details, but this dog ended up with me. And so I'm taking care of him and doing some training and trying to work through some of his anger issues, things like that, trying to chill him out a little bit, which is interesting. Because anyway, I'm going to bring this dog to the Alex Jones studio. The reason that's why I'm saying this. So if you want to see this dog, you can tune in to the Alex Jones show. You'll be able to see this dog, assuming that he's cool. I don't mean Alex, but I mean this dog. Assuming this dog is cool and doesn't flip out, I'm going to bring him in, and I'm going to hope that he's chill in the studio. We'll see. We will find out. But dealing with a dog like this requires somebody with a very strong personality. This is one of the things I learned, is that you can't be wishy-washy, especially with a dog that has its own, or in this case, his own very strong personality. This is a male, highly trained combat dog with a very strong personality and fully intact, ready to reproduce with female dogs, you know. This guy's got his own ideas, and if you're not a strong person, he will outmaneuver you at every turn. So it's an interesting thing going on, but we'll see. We'll see if that works. Now, some of you may be asking, well, exactly how many dogs do you have? Because, you know, I talk about dogs from time to time, and I just have to answer that I'm keeping that a surprise. No one knows exactly how many dogs I have because I want it to be a total surprise. Surprise! Guess what? You've wandered into the wrong off-limits zone here. You know, we have the puppy dogs just to keep you distracted, the yappers. Yap, 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 yap. And then, while you're distracted, then we unleash the artillery combat dogs. Long range, fast moving. And then while they're keeping you occupied or ripping your arms off, that's when I'm grabbing my rifle, etc., etc. But you get the idea. All right, we have an exclusive story for you here and some exclusive photos. Now, by the time you hear this, I should have already published a story on naturalnews.com. So if you'd like to bring it up and you can see these photos yourself, the title of the story is Eat More Bugs Exclusive. Natural News releases high magnification cricket snacks, cricket flour, and cricket microscopy photos from the lab. All right, so there you go. We went on to Amazon.com and we bought some cricket products that are intended for human consumption. One of those brands is called Cricket Bites. Another brand is called Entomo, or Entomo, like entomology. Get it? Anyway, Entomo cricket protein powder, and we bought Buds brand. Buds Cricket Power is the brand. And there you can have 100% pure cricket powder. And boy, they're not lying. Wait till you see the microscopy photos. It's all ground up cricket parts. And there's nothing missing. It's got the legs, it's got the eyeballs, it's got the little cricket hairs, the cricket wings, and these two little freaking claws that I call the poop chute claws. And there's actually, there's two big claws on the top of the poop chute, and there's two little claws on the bottom of the poop chute. The top ones are called the dorsal poop chute claws. No, sorry, well, the dorsal valve, actually, is technically what it's called. It's a valve. But they look like poop chute claws to me. And that is where the cricket poop comes out. But whatever, you'll see. So, and then I bought one more brand, by the way, called Flukers, which is freeze-dried crickets for reptiles, which makes sense. I mean, that's the only product here that actually makes sense is, oh yeah, crickets for reptiles. Because, you know, snakes and lizards and turtles or whatever, tortoises, they're built to eat bugs and crickets, I suppose, right? And so are chickens, right? But humans, well, that's up for debate. And there's a lot of chitin in these products. Chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N. And chitin is part of the exoskeletons of these crickets, which, you know, because they don't have internal skeletons, right? They have external skeletons, and it's made of this hard substance that's indigestible. And if you eat crickets, you're eating a whole lot of chitin, which is indigestible. What happens when you introduce indigestible products into your digestive tract? Well, for some people, they get crazy diarrhea and cramping. What's not to like about that? So anyway, I bought these products on Amazon.com, and some of these products, like for example, this Cricket Bites product, they have a recipe that's actually on their page on Amazon.com. Edible insect biscuits. Mmm, it's a baking recipe. All right. So you combine 3 tablespoons of cricket bites with 3 tablespoons of worm bites. What are worm bites, you ask? Well, that's dried mealworms, of course. And then you add butter and coconut milk and some wheat flour and some salt and what have you, and you make edible insect biscuits, should you dare. And you bake them in the oven and so on and so forth, and then you just try not to look at it while you're eating it. It's like, oh, these are good, you know, right? So this is all being pushed on us, like all this globalist propaganda, like eat more crickets. And these companies are, I suppose you could say, innovative in this space, in the cricket space, like this Cricket Bites company. They've got hickory smoked bacon flavored whole roasted crickets, which I find really funny because I thought bacon was supposed to be bad, according to the globalists that are pushing the crickets. But now we have bacon flavored crickets. That's crazy. It'd be like having, you know, cricket-flavored pork ribs or something, right? It doesn't make any sense. Either just eat bacon, which is delicious, or eat your crickets and stop calling it bacon. You know, be honest about it. Cricket-flavored cricket bites. It kind of reminds me of our story yesterday of spicy chicken wings. Remember the lunch lady that stole 11,000 cases of chicken wings? Using one van, by the way, just one school food service van. I'm still impressed. I still think we should make that woman Secretary of Transportation, or at least Food Logistics Secretary under Biden or something, because if you can distribute 11,000 cases of chicken wings without anybody even noticing for a while with one van, you got some logistics all figured out right there. That's pretty amazing. But getting back to crickets. So I'm going to show you some of the cricket photos here while I'm talking, or at least my editor here is going to throw those in the podcast. But if you want to see the full photos, follow along with me on naturalnews.com and click on that article, Eat More Bugs exclusive. And by the way, of course, you know that I'm saying that satirically. I'm not advocating that you eat more bugs. I think it's silly. And I think that it's, you know, it's part of this crazy globalist push. Like, eat bugs and we'll change the weather together. I don't think so. You can eat bugs if you want. I'm going to keep drinking my smoothies and have an occasional hamburger. You know, like free-range grass-fed beef hamburger. You know, occasionally. I'm going to have an occasional piece of brisket every couple of months, something like that. I'm not giving up meat. I'm not going to eat these crickets. Oh, and by the way, part of the marketing propaganda behind crickets is they say they use a lot less water. So they say these crickets require only 1 gallon of water per pound, where cows require 2,000 gallons of water. Yeah, but the problem with that logic is that cows are just borrowing the water. They urinate it right back out. They're not keeping all 2,000 gallons of water per pound. Otherwise, they would be the size of, you know, buildings. They're just borrowing the water. And since they don't destroy water, the water just gets recycled back into the system, by the way. So what's the problem? And by the way, crickets, in order to grow crickets, you have to build a cricket facility. So then there's all this ecological footprint cost of building a building and having the artificial lights and the temperature control systems and everything. It's quite complex. Whereas cows, they will produce beef on basically useless land. And you don't have to build anything except a fence, basically. You build a fence, a little bit of barbed wire, some, you know, mesquite posts or what have you, and a few T-posts in between. Boom. You've got cows going. Whereas crickets require all this, you know, automation and exotic indoor temperature control systems and everything. Growing crickets on a large scale is actually way more complex than raising cattle. But anyway, we're going to start at the top of this Natural News article with the brand called Intomo Cricket Protein Powder. And the first picture, and you don't have to look at these while you're listening, but I'll describe it to you. But it's this ground up mishmash of kind of yellowish looking. It doesn't look like flour. It looks like pieces and parts and shards, basically, with kind of black chunks mixed in. And then we zoom in the next photo, and it's black hair-looking substances and kind of brownish-looking globs or globules. How about that? Because they're small. And as we zoom in more, you get a closer look at the hairs and the black fibers. Now, crickets have these little hairs on the sides of their bodies. Of course, they have wings and feet, and then the feet have their own kind of claw-like hair substances. I don't know what you call all this, the anatomy of a cricket, but they look like hairs. And in fact, if we continue on, we're going to look at Fluker's freeze-dried crickets for reptiles. The first picture there, oh, that's a nice, juicy cricket eyeball with the eyeball texture fully intact. It looks like a hexagonal pattern in the eyeball. I believe that's the same kind of pattern that you see in honeycomb in beehives. And apparently this is a common pattern in nature, by the way. So it's a hexagonal cricket eyeball. Yum, delicious. And then zoomed in even more, it's kind of like the cricket eyelid or something. I mean, they don't really have eyelids, but it's kind of like a hairy ridge near the eye. I'm not sure what this hairy ridge is, but looks super delicious. And then we have some more zoomed in photos of the hairy eyeball ridge. And then next, we're looking at some wings and some wing anatomy. And then here's a look at the hairs on the abdomen of the cricket and the stripes. It's got stripes. It's kind of darker and lighter and darker and lighter. You know, you can't say that crickets are just one color because they're multicolored, different hues. And then we're zooming in more. Oh, look at that. And then here's a cricket face, a cricket head with the eyeballs looking up at you. It's on its back, laying on its back under the microscope, looking up at us like, what's up, people? That's a freaky little photo right there. And then we have some more photos, and then we get to the poop chute. So the poop chute is this is the thing at the rear end of the cricket where the cricket poops, obviously. And then there's this crazy claw. We're going to zoom in. It's got two claws, and they're dark. They almost look like stingers on a scorpion, frankly, like two little poop chute claw stingers. But apparently they close the poop chute. You know, it's important to close it off, I suppose. And it makes you wonder how, when you buy like dehydrated crickets, is it poop free or is it poop inclusive? Because, you know, we want to be all inclusive here. We want to be tolerant, inclusive. We want to welcome all varieties of crickets, including the poop shoot factors. Cricket poop shoot biology. Is the poop included? I don't know. I don't know, but probably some of that's in there. I mean, I don't think that they have any way to get that out, right? So it's pretty much crickets and their poop, probably. I'm just guessing. Then we found some parts of the crickets that we just couldn't identify. It's like, what is this thing? It's like an alien head? Is it dehydrated brain matter? What is this thing? I don't know. And then we're looking at the wings. The wings, the abdomen, weird unidentifiable parts, and then leg sockets. Yeah, don't miss out on the leg sockets. We've got a couple of good photos of those leg sockets. You could tell that's where the legs plugged in. But then somehow the legs got plucked out, probably during the grinding process or something, or shipping, I don't know. And the legs are somewhere else in the bag. But these leg sockets are still there. Mmm, they look delicious, like chicken leg drumsticks or something. Okay, then some more zoomed in photos of wings and whatever. And then we go on to the Cricket Bites brand, the cheesy ranch flavoring of crickets. And when you look at these photos, as we zoom in, you can see they're dusted with all this powder, and it's, you know, salt and kind of cheese flavoring and delicious spices and herbs covering cricket faces and heads and thoraxes and whatever else and unidentifiable anatomy. So basically this is just the same thing we saw before, just now it's got like spices on it. Mm. So if you want cricket eyeballs and heads and noses and everything dusted with spices, then you're going to want to get some of these. Okay, and then we go to Bud's Cricket Power. As I said about Bud's Cricket Power, this brand, Bud's, I guess it's from a company called Harrison Food Group. Okay. At least they don't deceive people, you know? Like a lot of processed food in the grocery store, it's very deceptive. They say, oh, it's blueberry biscuits. But underneath blueberry, there's a tiny word, flavored. Blueberry flavored biscuits. But it contains no blueberries, right? You've seen that kind of just nonsense in groceries and so on. Well, Bud's doesn't mess around. Bud's is like 100% pure cricket powder. That's their label. And they're not joking. That's what it is. It's 100% ground up crickets. I mean, at least they're honest about it, folks. At least they're honest. They're not trying to, you know, mess around with the name. This is like, you know, mystery protein mass or something. No, it's like cricket powder. You want crickets? We got your crickets. So we zoomed in on that, took a closer look, and sure enough, it's kind of like a dirty cornmeal, you might say. I mean, that's my description. I'm not saying that their crickets are dirty. I don't want to be racist against crickets. But it does contain a lot of dark particles. Let's just say that kind of little hair-like fibers and little black pieces, chunks, things like that. So it's kind of like dirty cornmeal in the way that it looks, I would say. Anyway, we zoom in on that and give you a lot of photos there, and it's pretty freaky. And then we find this crazy hair fiber type of thing. I don't know what that is, where that came from. Is it a cricket antenna? Is this part of the communication system? Is this the broadcast antenna that crickets use? I don't know. And we go on and we're looking at a dirty cornmeal cricket meal, whatever this stuff is. And some pretty good zoomed in photos at 300x, by the way, in terms of the optical magnification. A couple of these are at 400, but most of them are between 200 and 300. And it's just freaky. It's freaky. So I'm going to be sharing these on Infowars.com to broadcast with Alex Jones and get his comments on them. I'm sure he will enjoy talking with me about the goodies under the microscope. Look at the goodies. Look at the leg sockets. Look at the eyeballs. Look at the poop shoot claws. So many goodies to choose from. Which one should you eat first? And speaking of my Bubba Gump reference yesterday, now we got to have fried crickets, boiled crickets, you know, grilled crickets, spicy crickets, right? And that's what they're going to do with all the crickets. So while normal people are eating shrimp, or maybe, I don't know, maybe chicken, or maybe soy if they're vegetarian, like spicy soy patties or whatever, a bunch of people are experimenting with these crickets. So I think this is going to increase sales of toilet paper because of the diarrhea factor for consuming chitin. That's my guess. I'm just guessing. And some companies are selling cricket dog food. Like if you really hate your dogs and you want to feed them insects, like they're prisoners in a doggy prison camp or something. Like, here, just eat bugs, man. Isn't that kind of cruelty to dogs? I think dogs prefer to eat, you know, other animals. Like one of my dogs, who I've named the Bunny Gobbler, as you may have recalled, this little dog. Just remember, she brought to me this small bunny sideways in her mouth. It was like, I don't know, 6 inches long or something, this bunny. I was like, oh my gosh, you caught the bunny. And I'm like, no, give it back. And she goes, she swallows it. She's the Bunny Gobbler. And, you know, frankly, that's the kind of food that dogs, I mean, they're predators. They're night hunters, by the way. That's the kind of food that dogs are, you know, built to eat. Frankly, a lot of meat, a lot of other animals, smaller animals like bunnies. But not insects. Are there any veterinarians out there who could chime in on this in the comment section? What happens if you feed your dogs just a bunch of insects day after day because you want to be green, you know? What happens to your dog's digestion system? Does it all fall apart from the inside, or what happens? Do they have diarrhea too? I would imagine. Doesn't sound pleasant. But, you know, a funnier thought is I would imagine there are some people who know that their dogs need bones and raw food, right? Dogs need bone marrow. Dogs need bones to chew on. That's why I buy beef bones for my dogs. And they chew on the bones and they love it. It's their favorite thing. I imagine there are some people who know that dogs need raw bones, but then they for themselves, because maybe they're part of this climate cult, they eat crickets themselves. Can you imagine a household in America where the humans are eating crickets and the dogs are eating healthy raw food? Because that's coming. It might be here already. So what's for dinner, mommy? A cricket stew. Except for Fido over there, he's getting like actual beef bones. Yeah. That's how crazy it's getting. Now, you just know, by the way, that as the globalists are pushing this cricket diet fad or whatever it is, they're going to place this into shows. So Netflix will get paid probably to produce shows that have people eating crickets, you know, cricket snacks and mealworm salads and whatever else. In fact, here's a story from Breitbart. It says GM pays Netflix to place electric vehicles in entertainment content. So Netflix has entered a deal to feature General Motors electric vehicles in its original movies and TV series, providing the company with a new revenue stream while burnishing its questionable credentials as a corporate climate crusader. That's at least how Breitbart is writing it. So when all these new shows is going to be electric vehicles and cricket dinner plates and mealworm salads. And also there'll be a transgender character probably munching on crickets and driving an electric vehicle. And then, of course, they'll have to, as they get more and more progressive, they'll have to be like a pedophile character in the show. So there'll be a pedophile, you know, driving an EV, you know, screaming about how bad cows are, right? Like raping children in the back seat of the electric vehicle. And then Netflix will collect money for showing that because it's all part of the cultural propaganda, right? And none of them will eat burgers or any meat of any kind, right? It'll be insects, basically. Here, have bugs. So remember when I said that the CDC was paying all these companies to place pro-vaccine propaganda? And that all came out in the FOIA request. It was massive. The CDC spent over $1 billion, like paying companies like Netflix and paying stand-up comedians and so on. And, you know, network TV networks and screenwriters and so on to just put all this vaccine propaganda into the movies and TV shows and everything. And they're still doing that, by the way. And so it's going to be vaccines plus crickets. Like, here, take your jabs, eat your crickets, drive your electric vehicle, you know, cut off your genitals, or take your children and have theirs cut off. You know, this is going to be the new pop culture. This is why I said the other day that the best movies in the world right now are filmed in South Korea. The South Korean movie industry is great, and it's not all woke. Whereas Hollywood in the U.S. is full of just the most insane woke lunatics. It's all propaganda. It's just propaganda with a story around it now. And if Netflix is getting paid by General Motors and then paid by the CDC, and who knows who's getting paid by Big Pharma to push medications for depression and everything else, all you're watching, you're not watching a drama or a sitcom. You're watching just elaborate corporate influence. Basically corporate advertising that doesn't look like advertising. That's what you're watching. And pretty soon it's all going to be crickets and EVs and pedophiles. And remember, it's so crazy. I don't know if I mentioned this, but remember the Hollywood threat the other day where they said they're going to go on strike unless everybody gets vaccinated? And I said, we accept your terms. Please stop making movies and we'll stay unvaccinated. Well, in that announcement from Hollywood, they also claimed that being vaccinated is an act of resistance against the establishment. And they claim that the unvaccinated are just going along with the establishment. I mean, are these people lunatics or what? They become the establishment. So if they're pro-vaccine and pro-mask, right, and pro-Ukraine as well, and pro-lockdowns and pro-EVs and eating crickets and all this stuff, that's the establishment. That's what the establishment is pushing. Anti-establishment, i.e. the counterculture, are those people who are saying no to the masks, no to the EVs, no to the crickets. You know, counterculture today is having a gas engine Trans Am and eating a hamburger, you know, and not wearing a mask, like, and not being vaccinated. That's counterculture. And it's also a lot more fun, by the way. Oh, by the way, masks. Here's an interesting article about this from the Daily Wire. People who think themselves unattractive are more likely to keep wearing masks, study says. So there was a report from three studies conducted by the Department of Psychology and the Center for Happiness Studies. Yes, that's an actual center. At the Seoul National University in South Korea. And the studies found that people who think that they themselves are better looking are a lot less likely to wear a mask. But people who think of themselves as ugly are way more likely to wear masks. So just keep that in mind. These days, if you see somebody wearing a mask, be careful if they remove it. You might be in for a little trauma. It's like, whoa, while you were wearing that mask, I was imagining what you might look like under that mask. Now that you've taken it off, you've removed all doubt. Now I'm horrified. I thought eating this cricket salad was going to be horrifying, but now you took your mask off. It's a whole different ballgame. Can you please lock down? Stay home for 6 months? No, I mean, I'm joking, but you get the point. Isn't that interesting that it's not, quote, the science that has people wearing masks? It's to some extent their perception of whether they're ugly or unattractive versus attractive. Isn't that interesting? Remember when they first told us everybody should wear a mask and then you're supposed to communicate to people with your eyes? They said, just communicate with your eyes. It's like, ah, yeah, like your eyebrows and your eyes and like, huh? And so you might have a situation like, oh, you have the most beautiful eyes while they're wearing a mask. And then they take off the mask. And, oh my gosh, you should put a disclaimer on that mask or something. You've horrified the children in the room. But here's a legit question. Won't they have to remove the mask long enough to eat the crickets? Huh? Because the crickets won't go through the mask, so obviously. How are they going to do both? There's a question. Now, they can wear the mask while they're driving the EV, because we've all seen those idiots, right? Driving alone in their own car wearing a mask. Oh my gosh. Humanity has come to this. You know, that person's IQ is about equal to their tire pressure in PSI. But will they be able to wear a mask, drive an EV, and eat crickets at the same time? There's the question. Well, by the way, a new story out of newspunch.com. 100% of COVID deaths in Canada are now taking place among the vaccinated. So 100% of the COVID deaths, vaccinated people. Is anybody surprised? All right, have you heard this story about this balloon, this high-altitude Chinese spy balloon that is apparently flying over North America? It's been spotted over the northern United States. Breitbart covered this, and a lot of other news outlets covered it. U.S. military is monitoring a suspected Chinese spy balloon. And the Pentagon press secretary, Brigadier General Pat Ryder, said that the high-altitude surveillance balloon poses no immediate threat to the United States and will be monitored for the time being. The United States government has detected and is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over the continental United States right now, said Ryder. So it's over Billings, Montana, and it's flown through Canada, I guess. Do you think that China would allow the United States to fly a spy balloon over China and that they would just sit back and do nothing? Of course not. They would shoot it down. They would shoot it down. What's the United States doing? Oh, it's no problem. Just let China run spy balloons all over a country. I mean, why not? They've infiltrated the White House and the media and the universities and so on. And big tech, right? Just have Chinese spy balloons. Wait till they zoom in with a proper telescope and find out it's actually a high-flying, inflatable, stay-puffed marshmallow man. I wouldn't be surprised. So I got a couple of updates that were sent to me by one of my contacts here. Three U.S. Air Force Strato tankers have been spotted flying over Montana, where a giant Chinese spy balloon was spotted. And here's the flight path of these Strato tankers flying in circles near this spy balloon. And then there was a notice out of the Billings Logan International Airport. That's in Billings, Montana. The Assistant Director of Aviation and Transit, Shane Ketterling, shared a statement Thursday about a ground stop that was issued Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday, February 1st, a ground stop was issued that stretched from Helena to Billings, and it lasted approximately 2 hours from around 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. So, you know, a ground stop is where they don't allow any ground air traffic, right? Like, no airplanes can take off or land. Nothing that touches the ground, right? So the ground stop happened mid-afternoon when the airport has very few flights. And then they say there are articles identifying an object in the sky as a spy balloon from China, but we do not have any comment on the balloon. Okay. So are these Strato tankers and this ground stop and this Chinese spy balloon related? Very likely so, because that would be three highly unusual coincidences to happen pretty much in the same time window in the exact same place, right? That would be unusual. So it's probably not a coincidence. They're probably related. So what do you think's going on? I'll tell you what I think. Do you recall, was it a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, China was running those spy drones, flying them across the Mexico border with Arizona? And these drones were spotted spying on key infrastructure near Tucson. What was it, the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, I believe, was one of the items that was being spied on there, but also a facility that handles some huge portion of the natural gas distribution for the Southwest United States. And the spy drone was then chased by the, I think it was the Tucson Police Department response helicopter. This was all written up, by the way, at that website called thedrive.com. And if you want to look this up, you can read it there. I'm just going off memory. But they tried to chase down this drone with a police helicopter, and they couldn't catch it. So this drone was not some hobby drone. This was a major long-range spy drone with incredible maneuvering capabilities and a drone that has enough power to rapidly gain altitude faster than a police helicopter. And so the drone outran the police helicopter, and that was the last we heard of that. But what we realized from that is that China was spying on key U.S. infrastructure. Why? Well, because when China invades the United States, they need to know what to attack first and what to not attack so that they can, you know, exploit it, capture it, use it for themselves. And so when you have a spy balloon flying over in the northern United States, you have to think, well, what's China doing? Obviously, this thing's it's got communications that relay to satellites that go back to China. And they're spying on probably infrastructure, military bases, you know, gas facilities, refineries, railroads, whatever, power stations, electrical grid, substations, and so on. And you might say, well, they can see all that from orbit with satellites. Yes, they can, but the closer you are to the ground, the more resolution you have, given any existing, you know, camera technology. So by flying a balloon at, what, 80,000 feet altitude, that is much closer to the planet than, you know, a million feet of altitude or wherever the satellites are. I mean, I guess satellites are at all kinds of different altitudes, but you get the point. The closer they are to the surface, the better the resolution of the cameras of what they're getting. So from 80,000 feet using existing camera technology, they could read the barcodes on the shipping labels on your Amazon packages left in front of your house. Okay, that's how incredibly precise it is. And with that, they can also spy on individual people, getting patterns of what their head and hair look like from the top, you know, what their cars look like, what their homes look like, and so on. They can track people and track their movements. And they can determine who's going in and out of government buildings or military bases, and they can track those people back to their homes by just watching where their cars drive from altitude, you know? And they can build a database using metadata that China has already stolen from the United States. They can build a database, also public records of your address, link to your name, your mailing address, all that. And they can determine where all the top secret military people live and where the government people live. And don't forget, they stole the government database of all military personnel. Remember that? What was that? Was that called the Office of Military Personnel? I forgot the name. It was a big database hack several years back. They hacked the entire personnel database of the government, including military personnel, FBI, NSA, you name it. They have all that. It was a China hack. And with the spy balloon, of course, they can exploit all that and do all these things I just talked about. So yeah, this is about intelligence. This is about getting ready for the Chinese takeover of America or the attempt to do so. I can only imagine there must be a debate in China right now about the timetable of the invasion. You know, one Chinese leader, oh, is it the time to take over the United States and take all the people prisoner? And throw them in the prison, making them eat the insect. And then another Chinese general is like, oh, I have a news for you. The Americans already eat a bug by themselves. We don't need to invade. The American people, in the name of climate cultism, they will treat themselves like prisoners of war. Seriously. They'll eat insects until they diarrhea so much they look like concentration camp prisoners, you know, like skin and bones, ribs showing. And we're saving the climate, man. All the rest of the world is just watching in, at first, maybe laughter and then just kind of pity. Like, oh my gosh, we've never seen a a culture just commits suicide so rapidly. This is incredible. Even the Russians are like, this is crazy. These Americans, these Yankees, they enjoy killing themselves. Yeah, the American culture is destroying itself so quickly. Remember the movie The Silence of the Lambs, right? How creepy that was the first time you saw The Silence of the Lambs. Jodie Foster, right? And the creepy skin harvesting guy, right?
It puts the lotion in the basket. It rubs the lotion on its skin,
you know? And it was that dude. I don't know if you remember that dude. He was a transgender creepy guy. He was doing the junk tuck in that movie. That guy, that creepy Silence of the Lambs guy, that is now your modern day drag queen Storytime Hour performer that's performing for children in libraries. We went from Silence of the Lambs to libraries of the pedophiles. That's how crazy it is in America today. It's no longer like, it rubs the lotion on its skin. But now it's like, it presents its child to the drag queen. It's sick. It's sick. I imagine, no, seriously, go back and watch that. That was a transgender creepy serial killer in Silence of the Lambs. You know, before Hollywood went all woke and demonic. Like now, if they remade that movie, that character would be the hero. That would be the hero of the film. You know, I think I can do that voice better.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
You know, you have to give it a little kind of a creepy pronunciation, like a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of tinge to it.
It puts the lotion, it rubs the lotion on its skin.
You know, ooh, that's creeping me out. Just performing that little bit there. Oh, ugh. We should get the AI voice system to do that. Like teach it like creepy transgender AI voice. How about that?
Bow down to your transgender AI overlords.
You know? Ooh. Okay. Dun, 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 rut-row. EU nations swept by wave of bankruptcies, says Bloomberg. They're talking about Sweden that has the highest level of bankruptcies in a decade. That just happened in January amid growing pressure on what, construction companies from an ongoing housing market crunch. Oh, you mean the money isn't free anymore? Bankruptcy filings rose 47% from a year ago. That's huge. Oh, and then here's a good one from UK Daily News. Britain grinds to a halt as 500,000 workers go on strike. I guess they're tired of working for not enough money to get by, because of inflation and food scarcity and all that. And then here's a story from the UK Daily Mail, but it's about America. Exodus from crime-ridden, high-cost cities like New York, San Francisco, and Chicago continues as people continue to flee to more affordable states like Florida and Texas. It says that New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago lead drops in move-in rates in 2022. What drops in move-in rates? Okay. Very few people moving in. Four Florida cities make up the top 10 move-in rates. People are fleeing to Florida. The story says, after a year of rising crime and continued inflation, many Americans chose to exit the nation's three biggest cities to head down south, where you can play the cornhole game. Despite universal requests to return to the office, many have decided to move from New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago to Sunbelt cities like Miami, Houston, and Atlanta. Houston had the highest move-in rate of all, with 55.7% of moves happening within or into the city. What does that mean? Happening within the city or into the city? Okay. All right, so they're leaving San Francisco. Who wouldn't? They're leaving New York. They're leaving Chicago. You get it. There's a mass migration taking place in America right now because people are fed up with crime. And people are fed up with taxes, and people are fed up with crumbling infrastructure. So they're voting with their feet. Now, I find this somewhat inspiring, because I think we should vote with our feet, and we should, you know, move to places or locate in places that are going to offer, you know, fair taxes and have a government that stays out of your life as much as possible. And the more people that we attract to these places, then we can stand up and, you know, fight for that privacy, low taxation, you know, good local government, things like that. Whereas the blue cities that people are fleeing, think about who's staying behind, right? Who's staying behind in the blue cities like Los Angeles? The people who can't afford to flee, right? I mean, I know there are plenty of people who also have money there, but more of those are fleeing every day. For the most part, the people staying behind are the addicts, the low-income people who can't afford to leave, some people who have ties there that, you know, children's schools or relatives in nursing homes or what have you, or work ties or what have you. But the people left behind are the people who are going to continue to vote for the worst possible policies, which means that these cities, these left-wing cities, are in a death spiral. They're just going to go downhill ever more rapidly until more and more people flee. And if you live in an area where the government goes insane, you know, at some point you have to figure, we got to get out of here. Now, here's a story from Breitbart. Great Reset. Britons face 300-pound fine for burning wood to keep warm. Yeah, if you burn wood in a wood-burning stove, you get fined. So even though electricity prices are through the roof, right, and there's electricity scarcity and energy scarcity of different kinds, and you're trying not to freeze to death, so you have a little wood-burning stove and you're burning some wood, maybe a tree that fell down in your own backyard, right? You're not even cutting down living trees, you're just harvesting the dead wood, which is what I do, by the way. You're going to get fined up to 300 pounds. And as Breitbart reports, local councils were also informed that for those who continually breach the codes, i.e. burn wood in your wood stove, they could also seek criminal prosecutions that could land citizens with a criminal record and fines of 5,000 pounds and an additional 2,500 pounds for every additional day that they use wood to heat their home. So if you're trying to heat your home with wood and it's like $2,500 a day and maybe going to jail and criminal record and all of this, it's like, what? So they're tearing down the energy infrastructure because, you know, the UK was very likely involved in the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines, right? So creating energy scarcity in Europe. Yeah, well, you can't have energy from the pipeline. Okay, we'll burn wood. Oh, no, you won't. You won't burn wood. You'll get fined if you burn wood. You want to burn wood? You could be in the UK trying to harvest some wood for your fire and some creepy voice-actuated streetlight says, it removes the wood from the basket. I mean, if you live in an area where you can't even harvest wood from your own yard and burn that wood to not freeze to death, you are living under tyranny, that's for sure. Now, from the Economic Collapse blog, here we go. Two-thirds of the country in the United States we're talking about are now living paycheck to paycheck. There is an economic collapse underway. More than half the country cannot even afford to pay an unexpected $1,000 emergency expense. Can you imagine that? They can't even come up with $1,000. And then we're facing the death of the dollar. And there's a really great little blog on blogspot.com called Out of Laws. Outoflaws.blogspot.com. And this was just posted. I linked to it, by the way, on censored.news. And I encourage you to check censored.news throughout the day. Although today, it's not going to be updated much because I'm going to the Alex Jones studios. I'm not going to be posting a lot of stuff. Here it is. Death of the dollar. Millions of people will be pushed into extreme poverty and chaos. All these things happening to America now were warned of long ago, but millions refuse to see. I want to read a few parts of this for you because I think it's right on the money. This author writes that by my calculations, this crisis will reach its climax in late 2023. Oh, they're talking about the war with Ukraine and between Ukraine and Russia, well, NATO and Russia. And it says, if we are not on the winning side by then, America will simply stop being a world superpower. And then he writes, inflation will turn to hyperinflation, and very soon, years' worth of savings will barely cover your next few meals and bills. That is, unless you want to eat crickets. Too big to fail companies and banks will go bankrupt with millions of secure jobs vanishing overnight. If you lose your job, don't hope you'll find another one soon. If you're retired, don't think your pension will help you survive what's coming. Homes will be foreclosed and flood the market, causing a real estate crash worse than anything we saw back in 2008. And the homeless and hungry will replace the well-off and prosperous. America will descend into a debt spiral. But unlike today, nobody will want to lend us any money. Our way of life will collapse and the country might never recover. He says, I don't make this prediction lightly. It's based on years of extensive research and recent economic facts, which I will lay out in the following paragraphs and so on. And it goes into what's behind all of this thinking and Bretton Woods and the petrodollar status and so on. It's very consistent with what we have been mentioning here, you know, about the BRICS system, the BRICS nations, the new world reserve currency to replace the petrodollar, all of that. So it's well written. The one thing I wonder is, will crickets be the only food that the impoverished American masses can afford? Will a hamburger become this crazy luxury item? You know, like $100 to eat a burger. But if you want crickets, then that lunch is only $20 something. Mealworms, what have you. There's something really fishy about this really high-pressure rollout of insects right now. I mean, it's obviously contrived, so it's timed along with everything else we're seeing. It's timed to coincide with world war and the cyber attacks on the financial grid, the collapsing value of the dollar, and so on. This is all being pushed on purpose, you know, along with transgenderism and pedophilia and all that. But it's almost an admission that they, the powers that be, they know that they're going to collapse the existing food supply, especially the meat supply. There's not going to be meat, at least not affordable within reach to everyday Americans. It's going to be, you know, crickets for everything. You know, you go buy Campbell's soup right now, you can get what, like ham and bean soup, I believe, right? Isn't that one of their soups? Ham and bean, or bean and ham? Pretty soon it's going to be beans and crickets. Cricket butts. Cricket abdomen soup. Campbell's crickets. You know, it'll be like all kinds of extra wings and feet and leg sockets and whatever. And you start describing what's in there. Starts to sound like creepy, monstrous stuff, like cricket soup with extra leg sockets. It's delicious. You're like, monsters eat that.
Yes, monsters eating precious leg sockets.
Well, today's podcast is a collection of some pretty creepy voices. I'm sorry about that. That wasn't my intention going into this. It's just, I'm just performing the content here. It's creeping me out, actually. Hey, did you hear about Johnson & Johnson? You know, they lost all these court cases over talc powder causing cancer, you know, and even billions of dollars in judgments against them. And so Johnson & Johnson, which also makes COVID vaccines, they tried to form a new subsidiary and then to have that subsidiary declare bankruptcy in order to dismiss all the billions of dollars in judgments. At least that's the way that I understand it. It's probably a simplified version, but a court has apparently rejected this. But did you know that Pfizer did that before? And Big Pharma does this all the time. So if they lose a bunch of lawsuits over some drug that killed a bunch of people, which seems to happen frequently, somehow then they just create a new subsidiary and they transfer all the liability to that subsidiary, and then they declare bankruptcy, and then all the lawsuits are discharged. Do you think that any other industry could get away with that? How is it that Big Pharma is able to do that? It kind of abuse the system and deprive the people of the judgments that the courts and the juries have awarded. Well, this is what they're doing, and it's a common practice by Big Pharma, by the way, to do this. So they've also, sometimes these companies, I think Pfizer did this as well, when they're found guilty by the DOJ, guilty of fraud, or, you know, guilty of criminal conduct, that would normally bar them from doing business with the federal government. So somehow they'll form a new subsidiary. They'll transfer the criminal conduct or judgment to that subsidiary. Oh, they'll say that company is criminal. That company can't do business with the government, but that's not us. And it's just some shell company they created. Oh, but we'll still do business with the government because we're not guilty of that. All kinds of shenanigans in the pharmaceutical industry. It's so dishonest. And then now the vaccine industry, those corporations, they've got the governments working for them to spy on the citizens. And so here's a story from reclaimthenet.org, which basically says a UK government spied on tweets from journalists who questioned the official COVID narrative. A new report reveals alarming levels of dissent surveillance. And the report is available on bigbrotherwatch.org.uk. And it's called Ministry of Truth, the Secretive Government Units Spying on Your Speech. So I want to encourage you to go visit that report again, bigbrotherwatch.org.uk. And I think you will, your eyes will be opened by this report. This organization, by the way, Big Brother Watch, is really something wonderful to pay attention to. I will invite the director of Big Brother Watch for an interview, see if he or she is up to it. Their name is Silky Carlo. I honestly don't know if that's a man or a woman, but what a cool name. That is so cool. Can you imagine being able to introduce yourself as Silky Carlo? Like, what's your name? I'm Silky. Like, no, seriously, what's your name? Name? Silky. I'm Silky Carlo. You call me Silky. You know, it's like, man, that is really cool. So if you go to their about page, about Big Brother Watch, today you are watched by a network of intelligent surveillance systems. You are tracked by your personal devices, monitored by social platforms, and targeted by invasive corporations. You may not know their names, but they know yours. Every decision is collected and archived somewhere by someone. We do not consent. We do not submit. That's pretty hardcore, right? Big Brother Watch is a UK civil liberties campaign group fighting for a free future. We're determined to reclaim our privacy and defend freedoms at this time of enormous technological change, and we fight to win. They are diverse. They are nonpartisan. They are a nonprofit group of campaigners and researchers. Sounds pretty awesome to me. So anyway, I don't know. We'll reach out to them and see if they want to come on and talk about all their work. And I assume they are all in favor of freeing Julian Assange as well, as I am and we are. Free Julian Assange. This group has fought against COVID passes, you know, the software and the QR codes you have to have on your phone. They fought against emergency coronavirus powers. They fight to support and protect free speech online. They're trying to stop facial recognition. You know, if you're in the UK, good luck, because facial cameras are everywhere in the UK. And thermal cameras, Ministry of Truth, all of it. It's insane. It's like the novel 1984 has come to life today in the UK and almost everywhere around the world. But it's always the worst in the UK for some reason. It's like the UK government just wants to be the most totalitarian in the world. And they've pretty much achieved that, maybe neck and neck with communist China, but they're both quite bad. All right, you want something wonderful for the cold weather? Some hot cocoa, but something better than just that? Check it out. Go to healthrangerstore.com/energize. Just enter that into your browser, healthrangerstore.com/energize. And we have there a whole landing page about organic cocoa energize. This is a product we have. It's all lab tested. It's all certified organic, you know, certified kosher, certified non-GMO. And this has organic cocoa powder, organic maca root powder. That's where the energy comes from, the maca root. And by the way, remember that a lot of maca root has high lead in it. And that's why we do the lab testing and we reject anything that is high lead. So we have very clean ingredients, which again, is hard to find with maca or turmeric, by the way. But this has maca root powder and then 7 functional mushroom powders. That's cordyceps, reishi, chaga, maitake, turkey tail, shiitake, and lion's mane, mushroom powder, all organic, all certified organic and so on, and all lab tested. So this is a really great drink, a hot beverage. It's super delicious. You're going to find that it does amazing things for you. You'll feel really energized. You'll feel good cognition. You will feel really healthy and warm inside, especially during this cold weather. This is a favorite drink in our household, by the way. So check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. Again, healthrangerstore.com/energize. And I want to remind you that the spring is coming. This cold weather will turn warm here shortly, and you'll want some non-GMO heirloom seeds to plant this spring. It's going to be critical this year. So our sponsor in that category is Arc Seeds, and that's arcseedkits.com. And ARC stands for Agricultural Resource Kit. And they ship these in these PVC cylinders that are very rugged, by the way. Anyway, go to arcseedkits.com. And there they also have a special. I didn't even know about this. I just brought it up. 250,000 seeds, 65 varieties. It's a prepper special for, it's like $1,100 for, but this is something you can share with multiple families, by the way. So if you know a bunch of people, you get some people together, you want to go in on this, you can get tons of seeds to grow almost anything that you want. I mean, any common vegetables and common herbs and things like that. So again, arcseedkits.com. Use discount code RANGER to get free shipping. Now, I keep telling myself I'm going to be growing corn this spring. I'm laughing at myself because of my joke yesterday about how these corn farmers in America are all complaining about how they forgot to grow non-GMO corn. You know, how pathetic is that, right? We forgot how to grow corn. Well, I'm going to grow corn, but I just don't know where I'm going to find the time, frankly, to grow corn. So I haven't forgotten how to grow corn. I'm just not sure that I have a time budget to grow corn, but I got to do something at least on a small scale. You know, I've got to. So if I pursue that project this spring, which is my goal, I will, of course, keep you posted. I want to grow corn. I want to make homemade, homegrown, fully Southern cornbread. That's right. Like Health Ranger cornbread made with corn, not cricket flour that looks like dirty corn. No, like real corn, heirloom corn, non-GMO corn. That's what I want to grow. I want to make some cornbread. It's a goal of mine for 2023. Not sure I'll reach that, but I'm going to give it a shot. Oh, and by the way, Arc Seed Kits has a lot of offerings that are a lot less expensive than the one I mentioned. They've got small seed kits and so on. They've got like 50,000 seeds or 20,000 seeds, or even you can just build your own seed kits. Anyway, it's definitely worth checking out. Well, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Do something productive. I mean, I say that to myself as well. We should all do something productive this weekend. I think that the escalation of war with Russia is not far away. It's probably a matter of a few weeks, maybe a couple of months at most. It's going to happen probably in February or March. I don't think it's going to shift to April, but it's possible. Nevertheless, let's say in the next 90 days, we're probably going to be in an escalated war with Russia. That is NATO versus Russia. And that's going to cause all kinds of global havoc, maybe worse than what we experienced during COVID. So use this time wisely so that we can all get prepared, get ready, get squared away, and grow some of our own food, okay? Join me in my effort. That is, if I get there. I mean, I'm growing the hydroponic foods for my smoothies. That's easy, but I want to grow corn in dirt and see how that goes. Anyway, grow as much as you can. It's going to serve you well this year. And thank you for listening. God bless each and every one of you. I really appreciate your support. And I appreciate your putting up with some of my humor or attempted humor. It's always fun to communicate with you because we're all human here. We're all human, you know, allegedly, except for the AI robot voices. But other than that, we're all human. Thank you for joining me. We're on Team Humanity. Have a great day. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.